Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Greg Hansen with us today, Arizona Daily Star lead columnist, with all the conversation around Arizona State and U of A tomorrow night. Want to get caught up with Greg on what's going on with Sean Miller's team. Alonzo Trier. The words Alonzo and Trier. If you're an U of A basketball fan, all you've heard is Alonzo Trier. You've just heard enough of him. But I want to get the view from Greg Hansen on what's going on that front. Also, Lauri Markkanen, the NBA people tell me he is a surefire lottery pick. Does Greg feel that way? And is tomorrow night going to be a blowout in Tucson? Eric and I are going to go to the game. I want to see Markkanen in person, and we'll head to Tucson tomorrow after the show. Got a couple other stories we're going to be working on as well. So Greg Hansen will be with us today. Not doing much in the way of guests because I got a lot on my mind, and I don't want to get bogged down just on one thing. It's that time of year where there's just a ton going on. Last night, I didn't see much sports. I did watch Obama's goodbye, and I thought it was a very, very good speech. Whether you agree with his politics or not, I'm not going to go on that side of the street today. I just enjoy orators. I like to see what people have to say. I don't have to tell you if I liked it or disliked it. I'm not going to go down the things because there's some stuff I didn't care much for. That's fine. But I did watch most of that last night. I did a lot of reading, got caught up on some stuff, and was a water polo dad last night as well. The 12-year-old has a water polo tournament this weekend in San Diego. Last weekend, I had like 8 basketball games that he was a part of. I'm assistant coaching now on this team. I'm not head coaching anymore because I got to be more involved with you guys. And we actually coached against Andres Pete, the Pete. Remember Todd Pete? Played for the Cardinals. Andres, of course, was a very good offensive lineman at Corona del Sol. Went on to Stanford, went into the National Football League. His brother Cassius and the Peets, I coached against them on Sunday. It was fun. Water polo, that's a different deal. I don't know how many of you guys have done water polo. I'm sure you guys are like club baseball. Like Jordan's in today. He's in the hot seat. Eric's out. Jordan, was your dad's a baseball guy, right? He had to follow you guys on the baseball field?
Yep, coached all 4 of us from about ages 7 to, I don't know, 15 or so. So, yeah, a lot of weekends on the baseball field for sure.
Why didn't you keep playing into college? Did he not do a good job of coaching you?
He did a great job of coaching me. The fact that I'm 5'9" and not
you're vertically super, challenged.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it.
Yeah. On the other hand, I'm not. But you know, you end up having you end up playing the tree in the school play because you're so dang big. But was he hard on you guys? Did he yell at you guys? Were you able to call him dad? I won't let my son call me dad during the game.
No, it was a pretty firm coach, there. But he was, yeah. I'd say he was tough, but fair, throughout the years.
All right. Yeah. I'm hitting that stage with this one. This is the last one. I've had enough of these kids running around to drive me crazy for 4 of them that this 12-year-old is looking at me sometimes during the game like, I got this.
I was just going to say my dad, and then I said coach, so thanks for those flashbacks. The coach told me that his least favorite years of coaching all of us was that 13, 14, 15, when we got a little bit lippy but too young to drive ourselves to the games.
Lippy, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Lippy, when I coached my daughters in basketball, when they got to like 7th and 8th grade, what a disaster. What a nightmare. Oh, my gosh. These girls wanted to scratch each other's eyes out. They were all catty, and I'm trying to herd them around like cats. It's just so there you go. There's your advice for the day, Jordan. Don't have kids whenever you decide to go down that path, A. And B, for you guys that are coaching club sports, do club water polo. It's not as much maintenance as club basketball. It's really cool. I'm looking forward to being in San Diego this weekend. On the sports front, so Terry McDonough is going to interview with the 49ers. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on. This is actually a good thing if you're the Arizona Cardinals to have a guy, one of your own, that you can look at and say he developed himself and now it's time for him to fly the nest, fly the coop and go away. But if you're a Cardinal fan, if he goes up to San Francisco, that would be a shot, I'm sure. But I'm one of those that I want to see my assistant coaches get pursued. I want to see coaches go after my – or organizations go after my front office guys. It means I've got a good team intact. Now, I want my guys to stay and be loyal and stay through it, but I want to see them get pursued. I think that's a good sign. On the field, you know, it's Wednesday, so we're looking towards the NFL weekend. And I have to tell you, I'm struggling with a couple of these games to get excited about. Unless you're a fan of New England or Houston, what is the attraction? It's the biggest line I think I've ever seen. We'll have Jimmy Vaccaro tomorrow from Vegas. I think the line is 16. Here's Bill Belichick.
A really impressive team. Big win last week.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, imagine covering
very
that
compelling.
Every day.
A really impressive team. Big win last week.
Yeah. here's a little bit more, Belichick.
Don't beat themselves. Don't beat themselves.
That's always a problem. So you got to deal with that. Really, what is the attraction? New England's going to crush Houston. I know that Houston's defense is good, but unless you're a fan of the Texans, unless you're a fan of the Patriots, and there's Tom Brady lovers everywhere out there, and that's fine. I'm an admirer of Tom Brady. I don't have a man crush on him. What is the attraction of that game? Kansas City, Pittsburgh, I'm somewhat intrigued by that because I do think Kansas City doesn't get enough love and attention nationally. And is Roethlisberger going to be healthy? I like watching him play. Pittsburgh's offense is fun. There's no question. The three B's make it a lot of fun. Over on the NFC side, Seattle's offensive line is not good. Seattle's running game is not good. Russell Wilson is not a top 2, 3, 4. If you look at the quarterbacks that are left of the 8 teams, where would you rank Russell Wilson? If you were to rank the quarterbacks, the games, the teams that are left, you'd have Aaron Rodgers number 1 or Tom Brady number 1, and then the other one would be number 2. And then you look down the list, so you'd have Ben Roethlisberger at 3. You wouldn't have Ben in front of Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. Alex Smith. You know, you'd say Matt Ryan. Is Matty Ice better than Aaron Rodgers? No. Is Matt Ryan better than Ben Roethlisberger? Nuh-uh. Is Matt Ryan better than Tom Brady? No. Yeah, he's good. Dak Prescott. Okay, for all of you Cowboy lovers out there, you going to take Dak Prescott over Aaron Rodgers? Are you kidding me? Are you going to take Dak Prescott over Ben Roethlisberger? You going to take Dak Prescott over Tom Brady? Matt Ryan? You know, Brock Osweiler easily is number 8 of the 8 teams that are left. Brock Osweiler is number 8 at Houston. Okay, we can all, and I'd say that Alex Smith is 7. Or Dak Prescott is 7 and Alex Smith is 6. So Alex has some veteran experience there. So it's not like you look at this and say, boy, a great quarterback matchup in this game, great quarterback matchup in that game. Now, if Green Bay beats Dallas this week, and right now I'm leaning that way, and if Atlanta beats Seattle, you still have to go with Aaron Rodgers. If Pittsburgh and New England win, what a great, great AFC championship game that would be. It'd be terrific. In terms of the Cowboys, Emmitt Smith weighed in on what's going on down there and having the Cowboys finally figure it out because they've been bad for so long.
When the Cowboys is in the mix and the Raiders are in the mix and the Packers are in the mix, come on now, you're talking about three of the story franchises of the entire National Football League. And not to mention, you got the Patriots with Tom Brady, the cover boys. So you have all of that in the mix right now, which brings nothing but straight attention to the entire National Football League.
Oh, he's right about that. And we've been saying that. I haven't gone as far overboard, but when you have the Raiders and Cowboys finally figuring it out and not being awful anymore, it's good for the league. Here's Emmitt Smith on Zeke Elliott.
I see a guy that has great speed. Let's talk about his speed first and foremost. Great vision as well. But his candid ability to not only get low and to continue to fall forward. A lot of backs run too high and get knocked backwards. But this guy runs with a forward lean. Therefore, he's always on the attack. And he has that nice little jump cut.
So there's some stuff there to really dive into and to look at these games, for sure. It's why I was on this rant yesterday. And some of you didn't like my rant about how Clemson and Alabama shouldn't be playing games on January 9th, that it's all about the NFL. No, it's all about the NFL. College football title game was nice. It finished. It wasn't a great game. It was a great finish. Anybody who's going to try to tell me that was a great game, you didn't see the 19 punts that I saw. Okay. So this is all about the NFL. Johnny Manziel's in the news cycle. He's going to be at the Super Bowl doing selfies and autographs and charging. Of course he is. What a brilliant idea. You've got to make money somehow when you're not in the National Football League. It's just a sad, sad story. We're going to talk about ASU, U of A on the basketball front in a few minutes with Greg Hansen. Mike Smith of the Coyotes. I don't talk hockey much because the team doesn't do anything. But he has been named to the NHL All-Star Game. It's his first All-Star Game. He's 34 years of age. The All-Star Game is in Los Angeles. And if I'm the Coyotes, I probably have to look at their roster and say, you guys are heading nowhere. And is Mike Smith your most valued asset? And should you move him to try to restock the roster? The same can be said about Eric Bledsoe. I'm going to get into that later on in the show, too. So that's some of what's going on. On the other side, we'll have Greg Hansen with us, Arizona Daily Star lead columnist on ASU U of A tomorrow night in Tucson. Bobby Hurley and Sean Miller. Alonzo Trier, what's the latest on that front? And much, much more. That's with Greg Hansen. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, so what's going on in sports today on this this beautiful Wednesday? There's not much going on locally that's really caught my eye today. There's some things. There's more national stuff. I'm fascinated by this Tom Brady story that has come out, this Tom Brady League that was in the Washington Post. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Johnny Manziel doing Super Bowl selfies and autographs. Of course, it's low-hanging fruit. The playoff games this coming weekend in the NFL, I wouldn't say that Houston, New England is anything compelling. I wouldn't say that that Seattle, Atlanta is compelling. Now, you may disagree with me on that. When the Dallas, Green Bay game, I will be into. There's something about Pittsburgh I really like. In Kansas City, they're not a fun team to watch. They're not a fun team to watch, but all of that is what is on my mind coming up this weekend. Of course, the ASU U of A game takes place tomorrow night in Tucson. Greg Hansen is with us, and Greg Hansen with the Arizona Daily Star, longtime columnist, ASU and U of A. Bill Walton is doing the game tomorrow night. Alonzo Trier is going to be. Does he come to every game and you just shake your head and say, another night where I've got to at least mention him somewhere in a story, Greg?
No, I stopped mentioning him a long time ago. but he does come to every game, shoots warm-ups before the game, and then changes into civvies, and it's a pretty big mystery.
What do you make out of this story? Just big picture of Alonzo Trier.
That he's probably going to be back at some time. I just can't picture him hanging out here if there's no end to it, because he could be. He'd probably be making six figures in Spain or France or somewhere by now. So I think he'll come back at some point, but have absolutely no guess. I think every single person in this community has made a guess, and they've all been wrong.
And your guesses have been what, if you don't mind sharing them with me or us?
I thought it would be a divisible number that the NCAA would say, okay, 10 games or half the season or half or not the non-conference season or 20 games, something like that. But you know, none of it has happened.
Okay, and if he were eligible right now, would they have won the games that they lost if he had been eligible all season long?
Wow, good question. Good question. Yeah, I think they would have beat Butler. I don't think they would have beat Gonzaga. I thought Gonzaga was, as they do many years, peaks in December. And they probably would have, they'd probably be, what, 16-1 if he was there?
And if they if he doesn't come back, Greg, if he doesn't come back this season, how far do they go? Is this a Sweet 16 team as it's arranged right now, or is it an Elite 8 team once again? It can't possibly be a Final Four team without him, or could it?
No, I don't think it could be a Sweet 16 team without him. Unless, you know, sometimes you get a break in your bracket and you win that round of 32 game. But I think Arizona's had, the way their roster is now, at least 20 teams better than this one, just based on the personnel.
As I look at Markkanen, and I'm actually going down tomorrow night because I want to see him in person. I've got these NBA guys that roll through, and they say the kid in Tucson is a surefire lottery pick. And I've watched him, and I feel that way. I haven't seen him in person. You have. Is he a surefire lottery pick in your view?
Yeah, because he's legitimately 7 feet, and he's the best three-point shooter Arizona's had since Salim Stoudemire. So isn't that what the NBA is now?
So, yeah.
I mean, he's an unreal shooter, and he's not a ball hog. He's not a volume shooter. I hated using that term, volume shooter, but he's averaging exactly 10 shots a game. So he plays in the system, and he's, I guess the best part of him is he seems like a really good kid.
Mm-hmm. Talk to Greg Hansen, Arizona Daily Star columnist, tomorrow night, ASU and U of A in Tucson. I had a couple of NBA guys that rolled through that said he wants to stay because he really likes the college experience. But, of course, it's getting the pressure of, you need to go to the NBA. What can you say on that front, if anything?
I would say if anyone was going to resist the money, he might be that guy. Ivan Rabbit Cal did it last year, and he probably would have been picked from like 10 to 12. He looks a lot better this season. Maybe he'll go higher this year. I don't know. But when it comes down to it, if he is actually the sixth pick or eighth pick, can you remember any six or eight or nine pick not going?
Right. Right. Well, and I'm looking at the Suns, by instance. You saw Marquese Chris last year, I'm sure, at Washington.
Yeah.
And he decided to turn pro, and he's getting a lot of minutes, but he's drinking out of a fire hose. He just doesn't know the speed of the game yet. And the NBA is a developmental league for a guy like him, but he had to go get the money. Does Markkanen have to go out and get that money? I don't know his personal background, but he's also a foreign player, and those guys are wired differently. So the money is not always at the top of their list.
He's got a really good family structure. You know, his father played for Kansas 25 years ago, and he's a prodigy. He started playing basketball when he was a kid, so maybe his dad has it all mapped out. But I mean, if you compare him to Marquese Chris, he's so far ahead of where Marquese Chris was last year. I mean, I saw Marquese Chris a lot. He was a mistake maker, and Markkanen is not a mistake maker.
Yeah, Chris is a foul machine. He's always in foul trouble, and that's how he was. And I hope the young man comes along. I've seen some flashes, but I think giving a comparison, or even Bender, the other 7-footer, maybe a better comparison to Markkanen, because here's a guy that does have a nice sweet shot from downtown, but he's just barely shaving now. You know, he's out there doing his thing. Maybe that's a better comparison. I don't know, but you really believe a lottery pick then? Okay.
Oh, just because his shooting prowess is, you don't see guys, 7-footers who can shoot that well. He's not an inside player. He can move with the ball using both hands like a guard, and you just don't see guys like that.
Right. What about the big picture of the program? So you said something interesting earlier that if they don't have Trier back, maybe not even a Sweet 16 team, I think Sean does a very good job. I think he's done a nice job in Tucson, but you always hear his name rolling around the NBA. You've seen it. Is he a lifer in Tucson, or is there going to come a point where I've taken this thing about as far as I can? I'm not Lute, and it's a different era. It's a different era, and maybe this is as good as it's going to get for U of A. We're not going to go back to being a Final Four. We're not going to be a title team here in Tucson. What do you think?
Yeah, good question. Well, he's in the prime of his career right now. He's 48. Next year, he probably will have the best roster he's ever had. DeAndre Ayton, if he does indeed come to play college basketball. Next year, you would think Arizona would have a better chance to get to the Final Four than at any time since 2001 or thereabouts, or a couple of Miller's Elite Eight teams. But I just don't picture him as an NBA guy. You know, his dad's a lifer high school coach, and Miller is built and is just like his dad. And I think he has such a hunger to be recognized as a Final Four coach and a guy who got over the hump that he would not back off until he gets there. And, you know, if he does it next year when he's 49, who knows? But I just think he's a college coach. If anything else, he's a high school coach. He's all about X's and O's and game planning and films. And fortunately for people in Tucson, he's been a nonstop recruiter. And I wouldn't want to recruit against a guy. He's just a dogged guy when it comes to that.
Sure. No, I've seen Ayton up here. I've seen Alex Barcelo up here. And I've told you about Alex, I think, whenever we see each other.
Man.
He's terrific. He could help. He could be starting right now, in my opinion, in front of Parker Jackson Cartwright. That's just me when I see him play. He looks bored in high school.
Have you seen Oregon's new freshman point guard, Peyton Pritchard?
Yeah, I have.
He came in and beat out Casey Benson, the Phoenix guy. And I think Barcelo is just like Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun to watch. What is Sean Miller's weakness, in your opinion? Everybody's got a weakness. His weakness. What is his weakness, in your view?
He is unchangeable. He would never do, for example, what Steve Alford has done at UCLA and totally change his style to, you know, that freewheeling run and shoot that UCLA now does. Miller is a score in the 60s guy. It's amazing they've scored, I think, 66 points about 12 different times this year. And he is just a guy who's going to stand in the middle of the ring and punch it out with you. He's not a run-and-gun guy. And is that a weakness? I don't know. Sometimes you have to look hard for a weakness with him. I don't think I've never really seen many weaknesses from him because he's such a hard worker. And I think he's a lot like Bobby Hurley in that they're not going to back down from anybody.
What is his strength in your view? What is he best at?
He is a meticulous planner and developer, and he doesn't let up, and he is driven. You know, Lute Olson worked hard, but I think Sean Miller works as hard as you can work, with to the point of almost having no life. He's so private that I don't think anyone in this town is close to him except his family. And he doesn't go out to eat in restaurants. There's never a sighting of him. He's just all in on basketball.
You guys had to mix it up a few times, Greg, I'm sure, as lead columnist of the paper, that you've had your challenges, your ups and downs, or has it been pretty smooth sailing?
He's very professional, and whatever emotions he would have, you know, he's gone off a few times, but mostly at referees.
Right.
He's not at all like Lute in the fact where he would blow up at a media person. That's not going to happen. He got really upset at a young local TV guy when he replayed a tape of Miller calling Caleb Tarsuski a bad name last year. That's the only time I've seen him blow up.
Interesting. Talking with Greg Hansen, Arizona Daily Star, lead columnist tomorrow night, ASU, U of A. One last part on this game, then I'll get over to football, and I appreciate your time. The Bobby Hurley, Sean Miller... Sean didn't take the bait off Bobby Hurley's little locker room speech. I actually thought how Sean put it was exactly right. We see things in this day and age that are meant to be kept in locker rooms. Bobby's just trying to motivate. I think there's a mutual respect there. I know on Bobby's end, I don't know Sean well enough to speak on his end. You do. What do you think of the two coaches that are competing tomorrow night?
I wish they were boxers. I'd love to see them box each other because they're nose to nose. And don't you think what Hurley said, every coach says in the locker room, I was kind of surprised they let it get out. I'm sure Sean Miller said many, many things like that about other opponents, but he just wouldn't let them get out. I don't know how that got out at ASU, do you?
Pac-12 Network. You're given access. Pac-12 Network puts their camera in there. Pac-12 Network puts it up. If you open locker rooms, it's going to get out. You know, that's how in this day and age of insatiable appetite. And I think Bobby was as you said, was saying what coaches do say. I don't have a problem with Bobby storming off the court last year where U of A in the technical fouls. I don't have a problem with Bobby getting into officials. Bobby Hurley's coached 109 games, I think now. I think it's 109 total games. He's figuring himself out. He's got to dial himself back some. But this job's been asleep for 20 years, and it's the first time where I've really seen – and that may be a shot at Herb Sendek. Herb convinced James Harden to come here, Greg, but
Yeah.
I really believe Bobby's got something here, but he's got aging facilities and a fan base that doesn't care and an administration on the academic side that just doesn't really give a rat's about basketball, in my view. But I'm glad he's here. I think he's gone the minute Coach K leaves, but that's just me.
Yeah. Although I think he can make them care, because I think he can, and if he stays another 4 years, I think he'll jump over Cal, Oregon State, the Washington schools, Colorado, USC, Stanford. I mean, those teams are all vulnerable, and I think if he is as good as I think he's going to be, suddenly they're going to be up there with UCLA, Oregon, Arizona, and I think Utah's going to stay up there too, but I see no reason why Bobby Hurley wouldn't be in that group.
Tomorrow night should be a blowout, right?
I don't think so.
No?
No, I mean, what if ASU shoots well?
Yeah.
The big problem will be throwing the ball inside to Dusan Ristic. He's almost impossible to stop when he catches the ball. But, I mean, Arizona hasn't blown anybody out. It's not a team built that way. I mean, they have like 64 possessions almost every game right on the dot, and that's not a long enough game to blow anybody out, unless it's Savannah State.
Let's switch over to Rich Rod. How much longer can Greg tolerate, and maybe I should ask and weave Greg into this conversation too, because his name is always out there around other jobs, but how much longer can Rich keep doing it down there like it's been the last years? I know the getting to the Fiesta Bowl is something that Arizona State hasn't figured out how to get there unless they buy a ticket. But you know, Rich has sat there and really scuffled the last years. What's your view on what's going on with football?
Well, I hate to sound like a guy who's digging away at him, but I think their roster next year won't even be as good as it was this year.
Wow.
They're really in for some hard times. Their defense is so... Let's see. Let me use a nice word. Vulnerable. They have nobody. I mean, they've got a couple of safeties and maybe a couple of cornerbacks, and then nobody. And their offensive line is average at the most in the Pac-12. Maybe it's average. They now have no receivers, and they do have a pretty good quarterback, Brandon Dawkins, and possibly a good running back in J.J. Taylor, and that is it.
They're going to keep the quarterback over at San Diego, Burmeister. Is he going to decommit from them and go to Oregon? What are you hearing on that front?
Wow, what a mystery. What a mystery. He still hasn't said. Today was going to be the day he went to his first classes either there or here, and there's still no definite word. Yeah. But I can't imagine he wouldn't play if he came here next year unless Brandon Dawkins got hurt. I mean, he's their one franchise player, and... Boy, I mean, I know ASU is really down, and I don't know how good they'll be next year again, but how are you going to jump up past USC now? And now that Utah is solid and Colorado appears to be online, how do you move up in that division?
Sure. Well, I think that Todd and Rich are both in that spot of, I can stay here and bang my head against the wall, and maybe every 5 to 10 years, you know, USC... when they were messed up from the Mike Garrett administration and they had sanctions put on them and all that stuff, nobody sees the moment and said, we're going to be the dominant force. I mean, Utah, I think you can make the arc, made a push. But they certainly didn't do it in Tempe, and they didn't do it in Tucson, although you were able to get to, they were able to get to, I shouldn't say you, they were able to get to a Fiesta Bowl. The window's closed, I think. I just don't see where... Go ahead.
You know, the year Arizona won the division title, it had three miracle finish victories. Beat Cal on a Hail Mary. It beat Washington when they fumbled instead of taking a knee. And there's another one there I'm forgetting off the top of my head, but it had three miracle victories just to win the division in a bad USC year. Oh, they stunned USC coming from behind. So, and then once they got to the playoff game, they got blown out, and then they lost a bowl game to Boise, and everything has gone south since.
So is this it then for Rich this year, do you think?
What if they go 4-8 you know, the only victories against NAU, UTEP, Cal, and then maybe somebody else. I mean, there won't be 10 people in the stands.
Yeah.
So, tough call for Greg Byrne if that comes to pass.
And in Greg's case, I'll let you go off this. Greg, how much longer is he going to be there?
Well, he gets that $3.5 million retention bonus in 2020 if he's still here. I think it's valued now at about $2.5 million, but it has been at $3.5 million. So that's a pretty good carrot for him to stay. Plus, I think he really enjoys being the focal point in a community that's a college town.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, I'll let you go off that. I will see you tomorrow night. You're not going to be sitting next to Bill Walton, or are you? Colored teeth, tie-dye shirt and all that, Greg. Is that you tomorrow night? Bill's doing
the
game.
He's two seats down from me every game, and I think he's been here 40 times in the last two and a half years, so it's no longer a novel thing.
I'll see you tomorrow night. Appreciate your time, as always. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad.
It was good to talk with Greg Hansen, lead columnist, Arizona Daily Star, sports360az.com. We partnered with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Eric and I are going to the game tomorrow night. On the other side, Tom Brady has a football league that he's putting together. I'm going to bring Jordan in on this, Jordan Hamm, because he handles our Rock and Refill recruiting roundup. This is something that could impact high school, junior college, and college players, this new league. That's next. Stay with us. Right, so there's a lot going on in the world of football today. A ton going on, actually. Terry McDonough of the Cardinals is been approached about the interviewing with the 49ers. And I'm not surprised by this, because you look at the job that Steve Keim has done, and Steve is always crediting his staff. Terry McDonough, any football man, should use the opportunity with all these front offices open, especially where the 49ers are an absolute disaster, an absolute train wreck. People would say, well, why would he leave the Cardinals? That's what you want in that position. I mean, it's fine to have stability, but you actually want to have people that grow and develop and become something where they can run the show themselves. Jordan Hamm is that guy. I mean, Jordy's that. We want you to get out at some point. Unlike Eric and I, we just want you to move on. Are you ready to do that?
Are you firing me? Is that what you're saying right now?
Yeah. Okay. I'll fire you on the air when it comes to that point.
Noted.
No, I want to talk at some point and just get out. Now, I want to talk to you about this Tom Brady League. Have you seen this story today? Because this is right up your alley.
I have, yeah. Looks like there's a league that's going to be formed in Southern California. There are going to be four teams that specialize in players that are within 4 years removed from high school. And there are some pretty big names that are linked to this. You have Adam Schefter, Ed McCaffrey, that's the longtime Broncos receiver and father of Christian McCaffrey, Mike Pereira. Some pretty big names are linked to this right now. And basically, they're trying to pay these players and continue to develop them in a way that the colleges can't.
So I think the bigger name, though, is Tom Brady. It's Tom Brady's agent who's
right.
putting this together. So and look, we've seen leagues come and go. We've seen leagues, I can go back to the USFL, and then you had the XFL with Vince McMahon, and we've heard about this, but these leagues, and they all try to capitalize on spring. This league would run only in Southern California. This league would finish in, what is it, Jordan? Was it late July, early August, I believe is what I read. It would be 4 to 6 teams. These are not small-time investors, and these are not people that you look at and say, I don't trust them and their business acumen. No, you look at them, and I think they've seen something here, because primarily, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, from what I read, this would be a league of, let's say it's a college player that had an off-the-field issue. And I don't know, Jordan, last time I checked, that's like a lot of kids.
That can happen, yes.
So you have that segment. Then you have the kids that go to junior college, and they go to junior college because they don't have grades, they don't have a good family background, tough stuff they've had to go through. They weren't happy where they were. I think this whole thing of fifth-year transfers, you know, the graduate transfers, mm-hmm. I could see them going into this league. It's essentially the European model of basketball of let's just forget about saying, hey, kids, go to school, or even prep schools here in our country now for basketball. This really is a prep school model for football, although there's no schooling involved. It's just we're going to pay you $50K is the most you can make, right? That's the number I saw was $50K.
Right. Yeah.
So $50K to an 18-year-old, 20-year-old, 22-year-old who's been told you are the next. Let me just think of a junior college kid in the last 5 years, Jalen Strong, mm-hmm. right? Jalen Strong was a junior college player, did his junior college thing, came to Arizona State. What did he get out of Arizona State? Well, Arizona State will say he got academia, he got some structure, he got some life, he got some balance, whatever. When he finished at ASU, some things didn't go quite right for him, whatever they were. His stock fell dramatically. He ended up being drafted way out of the first round. And now he's with the Texans and he's toiling down there. He's not even their number one receiver. Basically, he was their third or fourth receiver this year. So that's just one name. Let's take a kid like Anu Solomon. So rather than Anu Solomon going to Baylor, where, I don't know, do you see him as a guy that's going to play every down? I sure don't.
No, and I think all the articles I've read in regards to that is he's more going to push the freshman starter, you know, right. Create some competition, not necessarily play, but be a nice little backup plan for them.
So, but it's 1 year. So these one and done guys, rather than being one and done and saying, well, I'm going to college, which sounds all well and good. They go to college for 4 months and then they drop out. Mm-hmm. That's how it works on the high school end. Could you see, like, you cover recruiting inside now with Jason Jewell. Mm-hmm. So let's just go down to the high school seniors. Have you covered guys that you, when you talk with them and they're high end, they have no interest in going to college, but they have another choice. And financially, they'd much rather go make money rather than go pretend like they're going to school. Have you run into those kids yet?
I could totally see where that is a scenario where there are some top flight guys that don't want to deal with the structure of academic life. Like you said, it's European basketball, but without the commitment of going to Europe. You know, you're going to Southern California. So I certainly think that there is a target there that they can definitely exploit. And exploit is probably not the right word, but
some of these guys
look into. And you know, when you have a guy like Ed McCaffrey saying that, I've never thought of something like this, and I'm not really sure why nothing like this has really come up. That says something to me that there could be a good cross-section of players who really just want to get to the field and work on their craft without having to deal with both the academics and the rigors of, you know, potential recruitment violations or violations if they, you know, someone buys them a meal, that sort of thing. They have some more freedom just to focus on the football.
What a nightmare, though, that's going to be for the college recruiter. So don't you think there's going to be some player, some mom or some dad that's going to say, well, yeah, we'll come to your place, but we got this offer over here to go play in this league, and we can make $50K over here. What are you going to do to combat that?
Right. What can you do? You know, guarantee playing time and, you know, try to get them some eyeballs. But
if you're a high kid, you're a high-end senior, and there's a couple kids on ASU's roster. I'm not going to throw their names out in the middle of this because that's unfair to them. There's a couple kids that I think, knowing their backgrounds, if this had been in place a year or two ago, they would have said, I'm not going to Arizona State. I'm going to go make $50K because my family needs it immediately.
Right.
You know, and is it going to be a league that is filled with misfits? Okay. Is it going to be a league that's filled with guys that all they have are issues off the field? I don't think that's the case. Again, McCaffrey's a Stanford guy. Brady's agent is a very well-educated guy. Adam Schefter's not going to go take his brand and go put it in the dumper if he's going to invest in this. And I read there's some political strategists are in this investment group as well. So it's a smart group of people. The quality of football, I don't know if that's as much of a something that you want to look at versus the development, the intrigue. People are interested in seeing an 18, 19, 20-year-old develop. they will be tolerant to watch that kid develop, rather than they come into the NBA right now, or they come out into the NFL draft, they don't get drafted, we don't see them play anymore, or they get drafted in a bad spot, or they come in and they play and they're just not ready to play. Yeah, I think Robert Kimdiche, you look at Robert Kimdiche this year, yeah, he was a beast in college, he did nothing this year. They're into redshirt years in the NFL, and essentially I think this could be the redshirt year if you do something like this. How does it work in the draft, though? That'd be how it'd be. All right, so that's going on today. There's some stuff going on with the Suns out of Mexico City we'll get to on the other side. The playoff games of the NFL, get into that. 3 weeks away from letter of intent day with Arizona and Arizona State. I'll talk to Jordan about that in about 15 minutes. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmad. So on the college basketball front, along with ASU, U of A tomorrow night, this is a litmus test. I should have gotten to this with Greg Hanson, but I don't want to let the show end today without getting into this a bit. It's a litmus test for Bobby Hurley. I've been staunchly in the corner of Bobby Hurley since he came on board because I want college basketball to be relevant in Arizona.
USC is ranked in the top 25 now. USC has made some progress. And so the next three games for Arizona State are against our ranked opponent. And that's something that I look at and say, okay, how do they respond to this? It's interesting Greg Hanson didn't feel like a blowout's coming for ASU tomorrow night. I don't think they have enough size. It's just watching them play, they are small. But they're playing hard for their coach. And I'm looking forward to that. The Suns, they took over 120 employees down to Mexico City. They are playing in Mexico City tomorrow night against Dallas, and then on Saturday afternoon against San Antonio. I saw some video on the Suns' website this morning of them getting down there for the game. And, you know, I look at that and say the Suns have sacrificed two home games to go down and expand the brand. Obviously trying to market to the Hispanic base here in Arizona. There is nothing wrong with trying to attract more of an audience, especially when you don't have much of an audience because the team hasn't been good. On the court, which is what I care about, the trade deadline is about 5 weeks away. And, boy, you got to get to a point with Eric Bledsoe, as well as he's playing, that his value is never going to be higher. And if you're Ryan McDonough and you believe that you can convince him to stay here, that's a gamble, because I'm not going to trust a player, especially whose agent is LeBron's agent, to stick around here when his deal expires in 2.5 years. You can say, well, it's 2.5 years away. We don't need to worry about that, wait about that. Yeah, you do. For a team that's won 12 games and only the Dallas Mavericks have been worse in the Western Conference this year, your most valuable asset outside of Devin Booker and the way that Eric Bledsoe is playing, you could argue he's your most valued asset. If you want to retool this thing, you can sit there for the next couple of years and maybe get into the playoffs, maybe. Or you trade Eric Bledsoe and you bring back a huge haul that can jettison you out of this purgatory that we've been in for the last 6 years. I just can't see sitting here saying, well, we'll figure it out when it gets towards the end of his deal and we'll keep him here. Yeah, everybody's saying he's going to be here. Yeah, LaMarcus Aldridge was supposed to be here too, and at the last minute that flipped, and now look where you've been. I just feel like they're in a spot where they should really consider Bledsoe moving him, because you can get back a ton along with your picks and your future considerations. And I don't want to see P.J. Tucker play anymore. I'm kind of done seeing Tyson Chandler play. What's that gotten you? You're just filling out bodies. Put the minutes in Bender's hands. Put the minutes in Chris' hands, even though Chris gets in foul trouble every game. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out at sports360az.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. We do this show every day at 10 a.m. People watch it over and over and over, not only on sports360az.com, but on AZ Central Sports. Tonight on Fox Sports Arizona, it's Brad Sussmad's Football AZ Show. 8 airings tonight and tomorrow morning. We appreciate our partnership with both the Arizona Republic and with Fox Sports Arizona. We appreciate all of our sponsors and for you being involved. Thanks for being with us.